Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening announced, MaxPass coming to Pirates,
Lamplight Lounge details, and my magical visit to Disneyland plus more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of May 30th, 2018. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Therese Urban. I had such a great time at the parks, and I was even able to meet a few listeners last week. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Danny and her husband, Jay, Gwen, and Jenna. I had such a great time talking with you and getting to know each of you. I'm looking forward to my next visit to Disneyland and hope that we can meet up with some more listeners too. Also, I'm dragging Tag with me the next time I go.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll meet some of you guys. So that'll be really awesome. So coming later this week is the listener feedback episode that will include all email, tweets, Facebook, and Patreon feedback that we've received ever since the last week of April. So I think it's going to be a good one. So if you're interested in hearing your feedback or hearing what other people's feedbacks are, that will be in the feed later this week. But for now, let's get to the news.
It seems all this recreating and vacationing and tap dancing's just too much for this old country bear. Yep, just give me the simple life. Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country bear like me can't act. It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country bear.
Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm.
Raising my family, working on the farm.
My days are all filled with an easy country car.
Thank God I'm a country bear.
Well, I got my life.
When the work's all done and the sunset low, pull out your fiddle and rise up the bowl.
Yeah! The kids are asleep, so keep it good low.
Thank God I'm a country bear.
I'd face on a good call me if I could.
But the Lord and my wife wouldn't make it very good.
So I fiddle when I can and I work when I should.
Thank God I'm a country bear.
Ain't gone.
Well, I gotta find out the got me old fiddle when the sun's coming up. I got kids on the grill. Ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country bear.
Ow! Cut that out.
Thank God I'm a country bear.
Well, that's it, folks. The country bear vacation holdout.
Hey, let's sing another one. I'm just getting warmed up.
The big news this week isn't that big of a surprise, but Star Wars Galaxy's Edge has an official opening time frame: summer 2019 for Disneyland and late fall 2019 for Disney World. Again, no big surprise here, but showing that it is on schedule and not behind. There's also some images going around of the inside of the new attraction that was at Galactic Nights out in Disney Hollywood Studios that we will post a link to in our show notes.
So just some thoughts from since I was just at the park and was being that total tourist that was riding the Mark Twain just so that I could try and get a glimpse of how far they are going, you know, how far along they are with construction. And I feel like they've got a lot to do to get to their summer 2019 opening. So it'll be interesting to me to see how they are able to get all that done and pulled together. I'm sure there's way more done than what we can see and what we know about. But from right now, it still seems like they've got a long way to go, so it'll be cool.
Now, I've seen some pictures online that a lot of people were happy because there was a lot of rock work. And mm-hmm. So, like, from inside the park, it just looks like more rock work, especially, like, Big Thunder Mountain kind of area. Did you see... I saw pictures that there was actually, like, an actual building
yes.
that you could see. Is that bad?
What do you mean, is that bad?
Well, like, no. When it's done, do you think it'll break the theming?
No, I don't think so. I think... So, from when we were on the Mark Twain and going around... Honestly, I was the only weirdo that was paying attention to the construction and taking pictures of it. So I think for the average park guest, it blends in well. And so, and where that building is, to get those photos that you've seen, you had to be like, it was a couple of second window that you could see that building between the trees. So it really is quite hidden. You kind of have to know where to look and when to look to be able to see that building. And really, it looks massive in photos, not that big. Compared to the rock work, it's not very big. Rumors of FastPass, along with MaxPass, coming to Pirates when it reopens, look to be more fact than fiction. New pedestals that will house the scanners for FastPass have been installed at the attraction entrance, waiting the reopening.
So I had a thought about this. So what do you think about... Because there's always... So when... Even without FastPass... or MaxPass, it is very busy around pirates all the time. Oh, and so yes, it can, for sure. It can spill out into New Orleans Square and cause a huge jam and everything. What do you think of an attraction like Pirates that only has Fast Pass? Like, there is no standby. Like, you get your ticket for it, and then there won't be that crazy line, because it'll just be standby return people.
I feel like you'd still have this, I guess. I mean, I guess you can still kind of have some control over how many people. I still feel like there you'd still have some overspill, though. I feel like
you'd have a little bit of line inside, but I don't think you'll have the craziness that shows up.
I suppose.
I'm just wondering if maybe that's the way that they deal with Pirates congestion.
Well, I'm just wondering, and you're not going to be happy for me saying this, but I'm just wondering. So with Haunted Mansion.
Sure.
So Haunted Mansion has Fast Pass and it has standby. Well, to me, the standby line has actually been much better, even though you had the Fast Pass going. And it wasn't this past week, it wasn't overspilling out onto like the New Orleans Square area. Everything was within the, I don't know, within the gates, I guess, of the Haunted Mansion. Nothing went past that. So I almost wonder with Pirates if having the Fast Pass will get people out of that main line, and so that main line's not going to be backed up that much further.
Right. Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out.
It'll be interesting.
I just had a thought when I was looking at the pictures of it, and I was thinking, what if, because I know in Florida, in Universal's water park, Volcano Bay, they have attractions that only have, like, they have a system, it's not FastPass, but they have a system where you tag in and then you're virtually in line, and then, like, you go back when your time is, and there's literally no standby. You have to tag in, and that's the thing. Yeah. So I'm wondering if maybe this is the future of this, because with attractions like Pirates, where there's not a lot of room for them to be, and maybe even attractions like the Matterhorn, which usually isn't too bad, but there also is not that much room, or even the Submarine Voyage, where if it was like a really busy day, because I've seen the line for Submarine Voyage go all the way past the Matterhorn, all the way down past the Autopia and down towards Fantasyland.
Oh my gosh.
That was more when it was open, when it first opened. But I'm just wondering if like maybe a way to deal with that, and because there's going to be such the amount of people that are going to be in the park for Galaxy's Edge, I'm just wondering if they do something where there isn't a standby for it, that you literally just have to do FastPass. So,
I don't know.
I thought it was an interesting idea.
It would be interesting.
Because one of my biggest problems with FastPass in Disney World especially was the standby line just crawls. And so I'm wondering, like, maybe you just offer FastPass, and then maybe your Max Pass becomes like you get a little priority on it. So like maybe if you were to just get a regular FastPass, you'd come back in 2 hours, but maybe if you have Max Pass, you can come back in an hour.
That could be.
So I don't want to give Disney ideas, but I think this might be a cool thing. Well, there's another big change on the horizon that will affect cast members more than daily guests. The cast member parking will be moving to the surface lot on the land that was originally going to be the Eastern Gateway project. This will allow the cast members much closer and easier access to the parks. The current cast member lot will be used for guest parking in early 2019.
I find that really interesting, and I think that it's nice that they're bringing the cast members a bit closer, because where the lot is now for them, that was further away than where most of the hotels are that people stay at. So it's quite a ways away, and I do know that they do have shuttles that are able to take them back and forth. But still, I feel like how early do you have to get to, say your shift starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. How early do you have to make sure that you are in that parking lot before you then have to wait to either walk from the parking lot to the gate or get onto the shuttle system to get to the gate? So then now you've gotten to the gate, you've got to get through the hordes and masses of people to get through the gate. And yes, I do know that they've got separate walkways that they have that the cast members can take, but it's still very congested.
Yep.
To then have to get to whatever store or whatever attraction that you're then manning that day. I feel like being able to do that is going to cut down some time that these cast members have to make sure that they include. I feel like it could very easily take you actually 40, like almost a half hour to 45 minutes.
Oh, it's been worse than that. So I was reading some cast members that were talking about this, and you're absolutely right. The buses and the shuttles were not very reliable, was one issue. And they were slow, and they got in traffic just like everybody else gets in traffic. Mm-hmm. So they were saying that actually from your car to Harbor Point, which is where they would clock in, could be an hour.
Oh my gosh.
So can you imagine, and a lot of people, I've seen this on online and on news reports and stuff too, a lot of people don't live right there in Anaheim. They mm-hmm. already commute an hour or two in some cases to work there.
Sure.
And then, so let's say you have to work at that 9 o'clock. So let's say it takes an hour. So now you're at 8 o'clock, but then you drove 2 hours. So you left your house at six.
That's crazy.
To get there by nine. Yeah. And then you have to do the same thing when you go home.
Mm-hmm. So, after you've just worked an eight or nine hour day, however long it was.
So I think it's good. I'm glad that they're doing this and that they're putting that lot that they own to use.
Next month, when Pixar Pier opens, there will be four neighborhoods to explore. Incredibles Park, which will include the Incredicoaster and Jack-Jack Cookie Num Nums Cookie Stand. The Toy Story Boardwalk, which will include Toy Story Midway Mania, Jessie's Critter Carousel, which will be opening in 2019, Poultry Palace, Senor Buzz Churros, and a Zurg Photo Spot. The Pixar Promenade, which will include the Pixar Pal Around, Games of the Boardwalk, Bing Bong Sweet Stuff, and Angry Dogs, which is based off anger from Inside Out. Finally, Inside Out headquarters will be a playground that will feature a new attraction in the future. There is no opening date for that attraction yet.
So a lot of this we kind of already knew from before that there were going to be the neighborhoods. I think the only thing we got out of this is what the actual names for all the different neighborhoods are.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm excited to see when it finally opens. Like, at this point, we've talked about, like, it coming for so long.
Yeah.
I'm kind of just excited for next month for it just to finally be there. And even when you were there, you were saying, you know, stuff is getting kind of wrapped up and stuff. So, that's good. Did you try anything from the snowman?
I did. I had the Pixar Pier Parfait.
How was it?
Delicious. It was so good. So, I like lemon. I'm not the biggest fan of lemon,
sure.
But the combination of the lemon with the blue raspberry slush, awesome. Yeah. I don't think I could eat the yellow snow on its own, but the combination was awesome. And somehow, the entire time that I was there, we kept going past it, and I kept kind of trying to keep my eye on the line, and I think I sent you a video of the line one day. It was just nuts. It was probably at least a 30-minute wait just to get to the stand, and there's actually, from what I could tell, only two ordering windows or two cashiers. So obviously a long line would then take much longer to get through. So somehow the last day that we were there, it was just starting to get hot. And the last day we were there, Friday, was really the only sunny day that there was. It was just starting to get hot. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to run over there quick. And it was about 11 o'clock. Walked right up. Couldn't believe it. So yeah, it was awesome.
Lucky you. Well, also coming to that area soon is the Lamplight Lounge, which is scheduled to open on June 23rd. The new restaurant will feature signature cocktails and a casual gastropub cuisine. Reservations will open on June 7th. For more information or to call and book your reservation, visit Disneyland Resort's website or call 714-781-DINE.
So some of the new menu items have been revealed for the Lamplight Lounge. The photos that the Disney Parks blog posted look delicious and very unique. For appetizers, or what they're calling shorts, a carne asada roll made with grilled New York strip steak, roasted chili salsa, escambeche, and crema. There will also be a potato skin short that's going to be made with crispy Yukon Gold potatoes, smoked paprika aioli, brown butter caper yogurt, and it will be topped with manchego cheese. They have also released some of the items that were going to be on the entree menu. There's going to be a vegetarian spinach salad made with warm wild mushrooms, a soft poached egg, onion vinaigrette, shiitake bacon, and blue cheese toast. There will be a spicy crispy chicken sandwich made with a chili glaze, vinegar slaw, pineapple butter, served on an Amish bun with melted French fries. And then for the little ones, I thought this was cute. They can order a spin on a classic. So it's a PB&J roll. So it's a peanut butter jelly sandwich that is made to look like a sushi roll. But this roll is going to be drizzled with strawberry jelly, served with fresh fruit, and a little pot of hummus and veggies.
I was, as you were describing these, I was looking at the pictures. First of all, the first thing that caught me when you were reading that was the shiitake bacon.
Yeah.
Because that sounds amazing.
Yeah. So the shiitake bacon is not actual bacon. It looks to me like they took shiitake mushrooms and maybe either baked them or grilled them or somehow crisped them up to make them like bacon.
It looks really good though. That and the carne asada roll is interesting because it looks like sushi, but instead of like fish, it's a piece of steak.
Yeah, it looks really interesting.
Yeah, I've never heard of anything like that, but it does look interesting. Well, if you want to have your mouths water, check the link in our show notes to the Disney Parks blog that talked about this. Mice Chat also had some pictures that we will also have a link of in our show notes showing pictures of the food from, I guess, one of the media previews or something. So it does look very, very good. I'm really excited to eat some of this, I guess, when it opens. I never ate there when it was Ariel's Grotto, so I'm really interested to eventually get there and see that. So
I'm just very – it's really interesting to me. These dishes look a lot more, they're very unique and almost slightly more upscale looking than other things that we've seen in the park. So I'm curious to see what the rest of the menu looks like.
Somebody did think that they have a specialty drink, and it was just funny because people complain about how expensive things are at the Disney parks. And this one drink is called Over Budget. So anyway, so wrapping up this week, finally, something new is coming to the Tomorrowland Theater. Starting June 8th, a preview of Ant-Man and the Wasp will be playing here instead. If it's like any of the other previews, then you'll likely be treated to the first 10 minutes of the movie. It's nice to see that they're finally using this instead of just the Star Wars Force thing that they've had in there forever and ever and ever. So it's nice that they finally put something else in there. And again, with losing the It's Tough to Be a Bug theater, they got to put that somewhere, especially when they've got so many movies coming out. So that's all for the news. So now we're getting to the part which I'm sure everybody is thrilled to hear about. Of course, last week, my co-host in crime, Teresa, was in Disneyland with her boyfriend, Vern, got lots of pictures. She did talk quite a few times in our supporter chat with everybody while she was there. And so we're just going to kind of talk about, because, you know, one of the things that people, you guys send us in a lot, that, you know, that you are sad the fact that we don't get there that often. But Teresa did get there. So let's talk about Teresa's fun. So I don't know how you want to structure this.
Well, let's start it off by letting everybody know what I'm wearing right now.
Oh,
so right now I'm supporting my new Pixar Fest t-shirt. You know, I was a little disappointed because the one I wanted, I couldn't find anywhere, and they were already sold out of it. So obviously it was a good choice. It was the one that had all the Pixar characters kind of lined up as the silhouette of the castle.
Oh.
But this one is good too.
That's a cute one. I like the color of that. It's like a dark blue.
Yeah. So the one I've got is the Play Together, Stay Together, dark blue shirt, and it's got a bunch of the different Pixar characters on it.
It's got the Matterhorn and the castle, and a rocket, and the Pixar pal around.
Yep, the wheel. That's cute.
Yeah, it's
cute. And on the sleeve it says Pixar Fest 2018 Disneyland, so I like it. But, oh gosh, I don't even know how to start this. So do we just...
First of all, before we get into this, I would like to let all of you know, she has a phone with a bunch of notes in it that she's taken while we're there. She has a lot of pictures. And then she has a guide map from every day they were there that marked off what they did. So I think where we should start is one of our... So we challenged people to challenge you to things. So what did you accomplish from what listeners challenged you to do?
Sure. So the first challenge, I think we already kind of talked about this last week, but that's fine. First challenge was from Doug, and he challenged me to ride the different water attractions, and he defined the water attractions as Splash Mountain, Pirates, which unfortunately was close. I wasn't able to do that one. It's a Small World, Grizzly River Run, and then he said for bonus I could do Nemo's submarine voyage. So first day, I'm someone that if you give me tasks and a list to do, I like to get it done right away. So the first day, second ride was Splash Mountain, and we had really great timing. We were able to walk right on to Haunted Mansion. Was my first ride. Tried to do my normal go to the left and go hang out with Mr. Indiana Jones. However, apparently that was everybody else's plan for that day, and the line was actually past the Jungle Book.
Oh.
Or the Jungle Book. The Jungle Cruise entrance area. So, yeah, wasn't going to wait that long. So, we just skipped right past that, went over to New Orleans, and went and hung out with the Happy Haunts first. We just walked right onto that. Then walked right on to Splash Mountain, which I couldn't believe that. It was kind of chilly, and we were the only people in line and the only people, like, in any of the log fumes around us. So Maybe it was a little bit too chilly for everyone.
So your picture was just you guys in the log.
Yeah, that lovely picture that now everybody has seen.
You know, but I posted it as the picture for last week's episode, and I saw Teresa go, does it really have to be that? And I was like, well, it's already out there.
Yeah, done. It's done now. But anyway.
It's a cute picture.
So
you don't think so, but it's cute.
No, I look terrified, which I don't
That's
know why
cute.
I always look so. I don't know why I always look so ridiculous on that ride, because I'm like laughing is what I'm doing when I go down the fume. I don't know why it looks like I'm like
is that really
mortified,
laughing?
But yeah, I close my eyes and I laugh the whole time, which laughing apparently
looks
like screaming.
I can see that now.
Screaming.
I just pulled it up. Yeah, I can see that now.
Anyways, so the first one we did was the Splash Mountain as far as the water rides went. And then, you know, I really, really found a lot of value in the Disneyland app. This is the first time I visited the parks and actually really, truly utilized the apps. It was so nice to be able to pull that up and to look at what the different wait times were for all the different attractions. So unfortunately for Vern, we did spend a lot of time kind of running through all the different lands. So normally what I like to do is I like to go to, like, say Adventureland, and I like to do everything there is to do in Adventureland mm-hmm. and then move on.
Yeah.
But however, this trip, we were in each of the lands multiple times a day. And so we were kind of going back and forth and back and forth.
It would have driven me crazy too, by the way.
Which, honestly, I think we were able to do so many more attractions than I've ever been able to do before that I think it actually worked out to our benefit. So I'm not disappointed that we did kind of bounce around all over the place. But yeah.
So what didn't you go on?
What didn't I go on?
Was there a lot of stuff or not that much?
Not that many things. We did not go on Dumbo.
How's the queue?
Awesome.
It looks
so
cool
awesome.
In person?
Yeah, it looked really
cool. At night?
Cool. It looked really cool at night, too. It looked really... I'm really happy with what they did. It really ties in very, very well.
I know you were telling me that Vern had never been on the Storybook Land canal boats before.
Yeah.
Tell us about that experience.
So, Storybook Land... Oh, that was one of the other water rides that I was supposed
go.
To do. Sorry
That's
about
okay.
that, Doug. But, so, Storybook Land canal boats, that was actually... We did that the first day, and that was... Honestly, that was the first attraction that we had to wait for. And it said 20 minutes, and it took probably 45 minutes. But so I had to like explain to Vern while we're sitting there, because he's standing there like, why are we waiting? Why are we waiting so long for this attraction? Let's go. You know, was the first day, still like the first half of the day. So, you know,
right.
we have all this energy and we're like ready to go. And here we are standing in line. So I kind of was telling him about, you know, what it was and everything. So it was actually really cool. While we were standing and waiting in line, we were able to see them take one of the boats out and then put a boat back in. So I don't know if anybody's seen this, but the waterfall that's just to the right, and they say that that's where Ariel's under the sea world is, they actually shut the waterfall off.
Oh.
And they bring the boats in and out of that area, and that's the storage area. So I thought that was really cool.
I knew that, but I'd never seen it happen. So you've seen something happen. That's pretty cool.
It was one of those things that I looked over. I'm like, oh, that's cool. You can actually like now see into the waterfall. And I'm like, wait a minute, like they just shut the waterfall off. So, of course, I couldn't get my camera out in time to be able to capture it, but that's fine.
What did Vern think?
So Vern's a huge photo taker. And as you guys can see from photos of he and I on the attraction, he's constantly taking photos. So he just thought it was so magical and just so amazing. And it completely, I think, blew his mind, because there's really nothing quite like Storybook Land in the rest of the Disney parks.
Right.
So he thought it was really cool and really magical.
He took a jillion photos.
Of course. Of course. But we could go on and on and on about photos and Vern. But that's his thing. And, you know, I'm glad he does that, because I'm the type of person, I live in the moment too much that I forget to take photos. And he's the person that always has the camera up. So I sometimes get a little annoyed, like, come on, let's just go. Let's just stop taking pictures. Let's just go and do stuff. But then later...
I'd be the same way,
it.
Too. I just hope there's a balance for him, because I know from talking to him and from what you've said, he really did enjoy his time in the parks.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I always worry that, like, if somebody's focused so much on taking pictures, they're not focusing on, like, the moment. So if he's happy doing that, that's great.
He's, like, freaky good at being able to, like, Fantasmic. It was creeping me out. He was taking video, taking photos, and watching the performance all at once. He was multitasking like crazy, and I have a hard time just having him have those screens next to me that I get distracted and want to look at what he's taking a photo or taking a video.
You're
of.
Very Doug-like. Squirrel.
Yes, exactly. So, kudos to anybody that can do that. So he is really good about doing a bunch of photos quick and then putting it down and then continuing on. So totally fine. But like I said, I really appreciate when he does that because then I have all those things to like look back on and reflect on. You will be proud of me, though, because I actually did a really good job this time of taking photos of different things.
Right. So. Okay. So let's go a different direction here now. So your whole trip, what was the low?
The low?
Like, what was the worst part of the trip? Worst attraction, worst moment, worst whatever.
You know what? This is going to sound ridiculous, and I'm probably going to get, like, yelled at by you or somebody for this.
Probably.
But... So while we were there, Splash Mountain broke down several times.
Which we've been reporting on.
Yep. Big Thunder Mountain was closed several times. Peter Pan Flight. Indiana Jones closed several times. I was so upset that I was not on any of those attractions when they closed down. And the worst one was Indy. The second time we went on Indiana Jones, somebody that was in the vehicle with us was coming back, and she was actually really nervous. And so everyone's like, oh, is this your first time? She's like, oh, no. We were on it earlier and it broke like halfway through. And so we had to get walked off the ride. And so she was really freaked out that was going to happen again. But it didn't. We got all the way through. And so it was really cool because they do issue like it's not a fast pass, but it's a type of,
it's like an anytime pass anywhere
for them.
Fast
yep,
pass. Yeah.
Yep. It's a pass for them to be able to get back, you know, hop back on the ride. So anyway, so got off that ride, went over. I want to say we did something quick. I think we went over and did Haunted Mansion again. And then we were walking back. Oh yeah. No, it was Haunted Mansion. We did Haunted Mansion. Then we were walking back to go view the fireworks. And Indy was closed. So literally, like, 10 minutes after I had gotten off of it, something had happened, and they had to close it. And I was like, man, I was just so close.
That was your low, that you didn't get stuck on a broken attraction?
It was, because I'm too much of a, like, nerd and want to see the behind the scenes. It is my dream to be stuck in the middle of one of these attractions and have to get, like, walked out the back way and see Space Mountain with the lights on and that sort of
stuff.
I think
I have four attractions I really want.
Indy would be amazing.
Indy, Pirates, Splash Mountain, and Space Mountain, I think, are my big ones.
Hyperspace Mountain never, that I knew of. I don't think it ever went down while we were there. But
okay. So you know what's coming. What was your highlight of the trip? Best moment of your trip?
My little sneak peek into the Club 33.
That was your highlight?
That was amazing.
So you told me this story earlier, but I think it's a funny enough story that you should tell our listeners.
Because I'm such a little stalker. Okay, so on Friday, I think it was my highlight because it was so unexpected.
Sure. Those
so
are the best.
So, well, that it. Okay, so it's like a second highlight. So my other highlight of things that I completely wasn't expecting that just happened to work out for us was, so we did not have reservations for Blue Bayou to do the Fantasmic Dining Package, and I really, really, really wanted to do it. So we went by on Tuesday, the first day that we were at the parks, and talked to the host at the stand, and they said the best thing to do was to come back the day that we wanted to do the dining package and to check around 4 o'clock, see if they had any openings. So we went back Friday, and they were able to sneak us in, so that was really awesome. And second highlight on that was I've been to Blue Bayou before,
sure,
but with Pirates, the attraction being closed, it was interesting because that outdoor area the bayou area that you're sitting in, a lot of the things weren't on. Like, the stars weren't on. There were not fireflies going. It was really weird to be
there. Was
in
water, though?
Yeah, the water was still there. But it was really eerie. The old guy that plays his banjo on his porch, there was no lights or anything on him, but he was still moving, so that was really...
That is kind of creepy.
That was really freaky, but cool in the same aspect. So we got our little fast pass ticket thing to do the... preferred seating, I guess. So I was able to sit front row center right behind the fence to watch Fantasmic, which was super awesome. And I really feel like I had got a better appreciation for that show in general, just because I was able to see a lot more of the little small things that maybe you don't notice from further back. So that was
when
really
you
cool.
said the pirate scene looked better in person.
It did. So the pirate scene to me, and I'd have to watch Peter Pan and the pirate scene. You know, like, if I could somehow watch both of those things at the same time, side by side,
yeah.
I really feel like the new pirate sequence had way more acrobats and way more tricks that they did, way more aerial stunts, whatever you want to call it. So that was really cool. So it to me, it didn't take away anything from what Peter Pan had. I mean, I like Peter Pan because it is a classic, but there was more cannon firing, which I know you how much you like firing. I think they, instead of like the one time, they shot it off like two, maybe three more times.
Oh yeah, I'm a fan.
So that was pretty cool.
Now, before everybody, okay. Well, first of all,
back up because
Fantasmic
we're talking about,
Murphy didn't come out.
Yeah, the dragon. Yeah. So I was really bummed that there was no Murphy. The dragon did not come out. So.
But to back up to the Club 33 story that I'm sure everybody's dying to hear now, we built it up and then you moved on.
Yeah, sorry. I got myself distracted.
No, that's okay.
Squirrel?
Yeah.
So after that, we stayed and we watched the fireworks, and they had the water screen came up again, and they did all the projections that were on the castle, that were on Main Street. They did all the projections on the water screen on the Fantasmic stage. So that was really cool to see the fireworks in a different perspective. So afterwards, this was our last night. So, and I told Tag that I was going to be such a wonderful co-host for him, and I was going to go and get him his alien macaroon, and I was going to bring it back. So before we headed all the way back over to Tomorrowland, I had to go use the restroom real quick. So we snuck back behind Blue Bayou and went kind of back, you know, on the little, I don't know, New Orleans Street area to use the restroom that's back there. And we walked past the Club 33 door. And just after we had walked past, we were practically to the restroom at this point. I noticed that somebody had gone in. And I just looked at Vern. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, we missed it. And he's like, what? And so I explained to him what Club 33 was and blah, blah, blah. And so as we were kind of standing out there talking, I noticed that there was kind of like a group, not really a family, but a couple of adults that were hovering in front of where the door was to get in. And so I'm like, oh, we have to go back. So we went back over and kind of hung back by the, I don't remember what the shop's called. It's a shop that has all the crystal stuff in it.
I think
it.
It's just like the crystal shop. And I could be wrong.
And so anyway, so we hung back there, and sure enough, they were Club 33 members. And so the cast member that was at the door, I don't know if she did it on purpose or what, but every time I've seen that door open, it's always been very quick, very in and out, and kind of like secretive, hush hush. Well, she stood there with the door wide open, so I was able to get more than a sneak peek into Club 33, and I was able to kind of like walk up practically to the threshold, it seemed like, and really got a good look in the entrance area that is now it's that courtyard area now. So I was able to see the different decor that they had down in that courtyard. So that was really cool.
And you were like nerding out about
it. I was nerding out hardcore about it. And was able to snap some photos. Not very good because I was a little bit too excited, but that's okay.
Should have had Vern do it. He's probably the steady hand.
You know what? I don't know. He may have taken photos. I didn't ask if he did.
I'm excited to see what he took and what you took, because we haven't really seen... Literally tonight before the podcast is the first time I've seen Teresa since she's been back.
I feel like we kind of did that on purpose, so I didn't babble right about everything that we did before we
and
discussed
yet somehow
on
we
the
still
podcast.
Did a little bit.
Well, of course.
So what else stands out to you about your trip that you want to talk about and share with everybody? So I know you hung out with people.
Yeah, I was just going to say the other really, really cool and very kind of humbling experience was there was a few of our listeners that were actually in the park. Danny was in the park because she was celebrating her birthday, and I think it was also her grandmother's birthday too. So they were in the park celebrating anyways, and it just so happened that our trips overlapped. I don't know why. I think Jay and Gwen and Jenna, I feel, visit the parks very, very frequently. So it just so happened that they were going to be visiting the parks one of the days that I was there too. So it was really, really awesome to meet some of our listeners in person and have, you know, different. So with Danny, we tried kind of getting it so that we could meet up and watch the fireworks together on Tuesday night. Didn't quite work out, but that was okay. We met up at the circle in front of the train station there, right under the flags. And so we just, you know, she was telling me all about what she was. It was really cool because she was just ending her trip. We were just starting our trip. So we kind of were sharing different stories about what cool things she had done and like things, tips and different whatever that she had about what we should do. And, you know, we were talking about what we did that day. So it was just really cool just catching up and getting to know some of the listeners, because, I mean, you guys know what we sound like. it was a little weird because you guys didn't know what we looked like. So I was kind of like coming up to people and like, Danny, are you okay? Like, so that was really fun. And then just the fact that we see you guys, you know, messaging us and emailing us or Facebooking us, all sorts of different things. And we kind of get to know each other, but it was just really, really cool to meet listeners in person and to hear about how much our podcast means to some of these people. Because, I mean, Tag and I just have fun with this. This is just something to do. We talk about Disneyland like this anyway, so.
It's true. It's true.
May as well make, you know, have some sort of an excuse about it.
Right. Share it with you guys.
So, yeah, so that was my little meetup with Danny and her family. And then it was Wednesday. I spent the day in California Adventure. And Jay, his wife Gwen, and then their daughter Jenna, they were visiting the parks with one of Jenna's friends. And so it just so happened that we were able to meet up and we actually went and watched Frozen all together. And they're annual pass holders. And that was actually the first time that they had seen Frozen. Obviously, it was my first time. So that was really cool. And we were able to score really nice seats. We were like two or three rows back from the stage.
How was that show?
You know, not that bad. So to me, it was definitely a Broadway style show. Very good vocals, very good acting, awesome, awesome costumes and set designs.
Did the costume change go off without a hitch?
Slight little hitch, not bad.
Okay.
Tiny, tiny, tiny little hitch. Most people probably wouldn't have noticed. Basically, when she's switched into the, I don't know what you call it, Princess, the silvery dress, the silver dress with the sequins. You could kind of see the royal ball gown slightly on one side. It didn't quite go all the way down over it towards the bottom, but not a big deal.
Not like what we've seen online where they're like,
nothing like that. To the average person, it went off without a hitch, but man, can that girl that plays Elsa sing? Holy cow.
Wow.
Awesome. Anna was freaking adorable. Whoever played her was, I mean, she was perfect. She was exactly like the character from the film. So she was just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And by far, my favorite was Olaf. The guy that played Olaf. I mean, I enjoy Olaf in the movie, but how this guy portrayed Olaf was just that much better. So he was definitely the comic relief for the production. To me, personally, I think Frozen's one of those things. I'm glad that I went and that I experienced it. I don't know if I necessarily need to go see it each time that I'm in the park.
Right.
But it definitely is worth to go and see.
Speaking of shows, did you go see Mickey the Magical Map?
I did, yeah.
What did you think of that?
I thought, you know, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I thought it was really cool. And honestly, the next time I go, I need to, there was one part in that show that I do not know how they did it. And I need to go back and like pay closer attention and try and figure out how it is that they did that. So for those of you that haven't seen Making the Magical Map, the main stage or whatever has this big, it's a big interactive screen. There's platforms within the screen. And so the part that I just couldn't wrap my head around is Mickey gets like, and the screen is the map, the magical map. And so at one point on the show, Mickey gets kind of sucked into the map. And instead of having a person on stage as Mickey, you actually just see an animated Mickey on the screen.
Yeah.
Kind of floating around, whatever. Well, at one point, he's on the screen, he's in the map, and then boom, he's on the stage.
Hmm.
And so I'm sure it was probably just a trick of the eye because they have you looking, you know, they have you looking at Mickey on the screen down right, and then he pops up
right
up top left. So I'm sure it's probably just, you know, a very simple trick. But man, I was like, whoa, how they do that? And I was looking around and all the other adults were doing the same thing and everybody was just baffled.
Right.
Like, how did they just do that? So that was really cool.
I thought it was a good show when James and I went and saw it. So I'm glad that you guys
did. The other cool thing that I really appreciated with that show is you see a lot more characters than what you do normally in the park. And, you know, I kind of was reflecting back on that just in general, and that made me feel a little bit better about Pirates, is sometimes there's certain princesses that you can, you know that you're going to see them in every single parade.
Right.
Ariel, for example. I feel like you see Ariel
Cinderella,
all
Snow
the time.
White. Yeah.
So there's some characters that they almost, you see too much, in my opinion. So I like that they kind of splash around different characters. So that's kind of how I felt with Peter Pan, switching Peter Pan out with the pirates. Because really, if you think about it, Peter Pan has his own attraction. He's also, you can see him almost daily in the park. Plus, he's in a lot of the different parades. So then also having him in Fantasmic, there's really, I mean, really, Peter Pan is very well
represented.
Very well representative. Whereas Pirates, you only have Pirates, the attraction. And then if you happen to, you might catch Jack Sparrow wandering around either Tom Sawyer Island or New Orleans Square. So you really don't see the Pirates that much. So that made me feel a little bit better about having that switch.
So something else we've talked about a little bit on the show, too, is so we talked about the new Dumbo area. What did you think of the It's a Small World area? Did that look really nice? Better in person?
You know what's amazing to me is we got over there, and how they did it, it ties in so well that I honestly could not remember how it was before then.
That's good.
No, it's perfect. It's awesome. They did a really good job. It's much, much more open feeling back there, too, since they don't have that huge stroller parking area either. So it's very, very open. But yeah, I honestly, it was really bad. I walked back there and I was like, this looks so great. And I could not remember for the life of me how it was set up before. It got to the point that I had to pull up photos of times that I had been in the past to like jog my memory, because there's no very obvious, this is where it was.
Right.
That was great.
That's great when they do updates like that, where it still looks like the old thing. You can't really tell. That's how I felt when I went there last, because everybody was making a big hubbub online about Club 33 changes in New Orleans Square and how they thought like it took away from New Orleans Square. And when I went there, honestly, the only reason I knew it looked any different to me was because I knew, like, I'd been looking at pictures. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, I get this. But otherwise, like, I don't notice it, and I don't think the average guest noticed it. And I think it's the same thing like with you.
Well, it was even interesting, because even when I was there and the door to Club 33 was open, there were so many people walking by, they didn't even realize that something was happening.
Yeah.
And here I am.
It's a door open.
You know, here I am freaking out, like, oh my gosh, like, don't you see this? And so, yeah. So
I'm sure the other big thing that everybody wants to know, Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout versus Tower of Terror. Give us the lowdown.
All right. So, first off, we're going to start this off. Guardians, I wrote it twice.
Okay.
First time we did it with a fast pass, second time we stood in the standby line. And I'm glad that we did it both ways, because the fast pass, you do miss out a lot on the queue theming and the different, you know, interactive displays, I guess you could say, that are in the queue. You just kind of walk right past all.
Yeah.
So I was glad that we were able to do the standby line to be able to do the queue. So for me, the difference between the two, if I had to pick, I'm going to get shot for this and I don't even care. Guardians. Hands down, Guardians is a much more fun attraction.
I'm glad that you said that, because I feel like a lot of our listeners,
they're probably all cheering, like, yeah!
They ragged on us for constantly downing because it changed.
And you know, it was interesting, because I had conversations with people in the park, and even people that were in the queue line for it, and they were basically saying things like, you know, I appreciate, and I was really anti-Guardians, because same thing, they didn't think the theming fit, they really love Tower of Terror, you know, whatever. And so some of the same things that Tag and I were feeling, but the thing, it's amazing to me that it's the same ride mechanics, same ride system, but it feels entirely different. Entirely different. So to me, now comparing the two, Tower was very, I don't know, kind of jagged. It was very up, down, stop, start, stop, start, very kind of whatever.
Yeah.
And Guardians is fun. Everybody, both times that we went on it, everybody was laughing hysterically. Nobody was screaming in horror. Everybody was just laughing uncontrollably, because they're kind of bouncing you up and down, and you get this feeling of like weightlessness the entire time that you're in the attraction.
So do you think this is a more family-friendly version of the attraction?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. It wasn't eerie. It wasn't creepy. It was fun. And even like the different, because each time you ride it, it's not the same. So you get either a different music track or a different drop sequence, I guess.
Sure.
And then the projections are different too. So thankfully the two times that we rode it, it was different. But yeah, so even the screens, what's going on with the screens and watching the different antics that the Guardians are going through, it's just funny.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, those two movies are funny. So that's great. So how was Rocket? The animatronic.
He was cool. He was very cool.
Is it as good as looking as people say?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome. Yeah, because I was just going to ask you about the fact that it changed every time, and I'm glad that you got to experience that it changed every time.
Yeah, so definitely the first time I rode it, I thought it was more fun than the second time, just because I guess there was more drops the first time we did it than the second time. And actually, I'll have to show the photo of, so the first photo, I was so bummed. The first ride attraction photo was the first time I rode it. I was really looking forward to being able to share that with everybody. However, I was in the second row and there's somebody's hand like exactly over where my face is. And you can hardly even tell that it's me on the
attraction.
You can
make Vern out though.
Yeah, you can tell that Vern's there, but you can like see just like the edges of my shoulders and that's it. So the second time we rode it, I think the photo time, like the in-ride photo timing was off because it took us all the way to the top and there was a couple of seconds that you just waited and then it, you know, and then you dropped. So it actually took the photo in that awkward, weird, like, are we going to drop now? So everybody in the photo has this really, like, weird, almost serious look or very posed look on their face because the other one definitely got you in the moment, you know, the moments right after the ride kind of let you go. So
now you also got Max Pass one of the days.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on that? I know that you were telling me your first day, you didn't really think you needed it because the park wasn't that busy. A lot of things were walk-on. So how did that work out for you? And do you think it would be something that is worthwhile to get if you were going and you knew it was not going to be, like, if it was going to be a busier time, like, let's say midsummer or something like that?
Oh, sure. So so with my experience, first day, we totally lucked out. And honestly, we only used one fast pass the entire first day, and that was for the Matterhorn. The rest of it, we either walked right on, or is a pretty minimal wait. I think the longest standby, like, advertised time that we waited was, like, 30 minutes. So it wasn't bad at all. So the second day we used Max Pass, and I'm really glad that we did it that second day because that was when we were at California Adventure. But the nicest thing about Max Pass was just the ability and the freedom to be able to get your fast passes right on your phone. So not having to rush. And I kind of, I don't know, I the last time I had visited Disney park was Disney World, and you can do fast passes on your phone without having to pay extra for Disney World. So I kind of forgot that you had to rush to all the different booths. So it was really, really nice to be able to do that right from your phone. The other thing that I did, because I'm a planner, is you would get your fast pass and then it would automatically tell you, okay, you're next eligible for a fast pass at this time. So I would set the alarm on my phone, and as soon as that alarm went off, I'd get the next fast pass. So I was able to kind of stack my day, I guess you could say. The other nice thing was, since we had park hopper tickets, you were able to get fast passes in both parks. That was really nice. The other thing too that I just really, and you can get this even if you don't have Max Pass, but I really utilized the fact that you can, on the app, you can see the different wait times, but you can also see what fast passes that they are distributing at that time. So I did notice with using Max Pass that if you were taking fast passes that were going to be coming up sooner rather than later, so say it's 12 o'clock and there's a fast pass open for this attraction at 1, you could get that fast pass, and then your turnaround time for you to be able to get your next fast pass was much, much shorter than, say, if it was 12 o'clock and the fast pass you chose was a 5 o'clock fast pass. So that was really interesting.
Which makes sense, because it's like a line reservation kind of thing. Now, one thing you didn't take advantage of with the Max Pass was the photo pass.
Yeah, and you know, I never really utilized the photo opportunities that they have. I think I just get too wrapped up in whatever it is that I'm doing that I just kind of blaze past all of the different photographers. But I mean, I can see how that'd be a great value for people that want to spend the time getting their photos taken.
Did it seem like there were a lot of PhotoPass photographers? Because I know when we were in Disney World, it seemed like they were really banking on PhotoPass stuff. So they were just freaking everywhere.
You know, the last time I was at Disneyland, it seemed like they were everywhere. But this last most recent time, no, I honestly, and I don't know if it's because I wasn't looking for them or if they just weren't there.
Yeah. So then you also were there on at least one grad night?
You know, so from what I found on the Disneyland website, there was one official grad night, but I'm pretty sure it was multiple nights. And even if it wasn't an official grad night going on, there was definitely a heavy influence of a lot of whether they were younger students or high school or college graduates. There were a lot of kids, I guess you could
younger
say.
Younger folk.
Yep, they were. Yeah, and like I said, they, I mean, not like little kids, but, you know, groups of like teens,
yeah.
I guess. There was a lot of that in the parks.
So the night that you were there with the grad night, how did that go down? Like, was it kind of a bummer that it was a shorter night, or did it not bother you?
Not really. It didn't bother me because we were in California Adventure on the second night that there was for sure a grad night. And they, I mean, we still were able to watch Paint the Night. And, you know, it wasn't like anybody rushed. I didn't feel like we were getting rushed out at the end of it. Plus, Disneyland was open until midnight every night that we were there.
Gotcha.
So if we really needed those extra hours, we just walked over to the other park and did whatever over there instead. So it wasn't that big of a bummer to me. And quite honestly, a lot of times, depending on when you started your day, you know, you're getting to 9:30, 9:45 at night, you're pretty wiped out. So yeah. A lot of people are leaving the park at that time anyways.
So one thing we've not talked about, but we always talk about, and you always get really excited about, was the food. So give us kind of an overview. What was like a highlight? What was kind of a disappointment, if there was any? Is there anything you missed out on that you want to try again? I know you didn't do the Churro Challenge, which is kind of a bummer.
Yes and no. So I did what I wanted to do on the Churro Challenge.
We'll but you didn't get the button.
So, well, no, because I'm not an annual pass holder.
Oh, that's true.
But anyway, so the Churro Challenge maps, I will point this out because with talking with some people there, it was a lot of people were really confused as to where you could get the Churro Challenge maps. And any of the participating Churro carts is where you could get the Churro Challenge map from. So I did try a race. So we're going to be really honest here. Never had I ever had an official Disneyland churro before this last trip, just because it's not really my thing.
Sure.
So first day we were there during the Pixar Play Parade, we were sitting right next to the churro cart. And so Vern went over and grabbed just the regular churro and we shared it. And it was okay. But then the next churro we tried, I did try the cocoa churro with the chili chocolate sauce.
How was that?
It was really good. Don't use too much of that sauce because it does have a kick, but it was really good.
I
it was
can see
good
like,
with
yes.
the sauce. That's exactly how it went, actually. So it was good. It was good with the sauce and it was good without the sauce. And then the other...
Not too chocolatey?
No, not too chocolatey.
Oh, good.
No.
Because that's what I'd be worried about.
No, yeah, not at all. And then the other one that we tried was the Bugs themed one. It was the ants on a log one. So that was the one that had the donut glaze and then the, I think it was like chocolate, like cocoa pebble type cereal on it. That one was amazing. Like I said, not really a big churro person, but that one, that was good.
Now, I am disappointed that you did not get.
The only downfall to the ants on the log churro is you only have the extra toppings or whatever on half of the churro because they don't put it on the half that they put the paper around.
Oh.
So that was a little bit of a bummer, but
I can
still
see
good.
That. Well, I know that you did not try Bengal barbecue.
No, I didn't.
That's all right. James actually made some last night. We found a recipe and he made it. It was pretty good.
Well, and I kind of had a couple of different thoughts because I really wanted to try the different Pixar Fest offerings.
Yeah.
And I knew that Bengal barbecue was going to be there the next time I visited the resort. So
yeah, you and I will eat there probably a bunch of times when we go together.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that.
I want to eat there.
Totally fine with that.
Now, you did say you were disappointed with the macaroons.
Yeah, so again, all honesty, I've not had a macaroon before. I had a Disney macaroon and I had the
the strawberry one.
Yeah,
right?
it's like a strawberry one. It had like a citrus center, but it's a cute little pink Minnie Mouse one. I took photos, so we can go ahead and we can put it up on Facebook or whatever. But so I got that the first day, got it after the fireworks. It was literally the last one in the case.
Oh.
And bought it, took it back to the hotel. So we wandered around the park a little bit and wandered through the stores, did our like 5 to 10 minute walk back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Change, got in my pajamas, and then tried it. And so flavor wise it was very, very sweet. Too sweet for me. I could see how it could be somebody else's thing, but just for me it was a little too sweet, so I definitely had to drink water with it. But the consistency of the macaroon I thought was kind of, I don't know, I thought it was off, and so I had to like verify with Tag, the macaroon guy here, to see what the consistency was supposed to be, because to me it almost seemed a little like soggy. So
yeah, it shouldn't have been
and
soggy.
Yeah, he said the consistency wasn't quite right. So again, I had the last one in the case and then it sat and hung out with me for however long. It was chilled when we first picked it up. I'm sure it was no longer cold when I took it back to the hotel, so it probably would have been best if I would have enjoyed it right away. So I did feel really bad because everybody I did not bring, I was not a very good co-host. I did not bring
It was not
Tag.
Your fault, though.
I did not bring Tag back in Alien Macaroon.
It was not
we
your
tried
fault,
to, I know. We tried to rush back over. Well, kind of was my fault. I should have checked what time they closed. But try to go back over and buy. The last thing I wanted to do was buy Tag as Macaroon. Well, they had already closed. So Tag didn't get a Macaroon. But
okay.
He did get other merchandise. So there's that bonus.
Yeah, she got me the mug I wanted. She got me a couple of these little metal things.
Yeah, these
that,
cool little model things.
A monorail one and a Disneyland sign one, which I'm going to be really excited to put together sometime.
But yeah, so with my experience with getting the last one and then even just the time it took for me to, you know, it however long it sat in the case that day, plus then me taking it back to the hotel, I don't think your Alien Macaroon would have been really good at all.
Probably not. Well, hopefully they'll have more macaroons when we go next year.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I tried it. I could see how it could have been good, but I think mine just had sat a little bit too long.
They probably are going to have like an R2-D2 macaroon or something for Star Wars.
A BB-8. I bet you there's
BB-8. Yes. How could I have not thought about that?
Okay, yeah, so let's think. What other
we've talked about food. So what did you get at the Blue Bayou?
The surf and turf.
Yeah.
I got the salad. Vern got the gumbo. They're both just so good.
Yeah.
And then I got the surf and turf, and he got the lamb, and he really, really enjoyed his lamb. My surf and turf, I'm not a real big lobster person. Vern really likes lobster, so I didn't mind getting the surf and turf. But I did eat like half of the lobster, and I thought it was really actually quite good. The filet obviously was amazing, but they have these scallop potatoes that I have not had there before, and they had a little zip to them. They were delicious, so delicious, and the vegetables were perfect. And then I got the adorable Fantasmic dessert.
I was really jealous because I saw a picture of that, and I was like, oh, that looks good.
It was really good. That was probably the slowest I've ever eaten a dessert in my entire life because I just wanted to like savor every moment of it. It was awesome. And Vern got the creme brulee. So he and I purposely got opposite things on the menu so that we were able to try
a little bit of
everything. So, yeah.
So what did you have at Cafe Orleans when you called into last week's episode?
So as you guys will probably figure out and Tag already knows, I'm a really big steak person, so I got the steak. But it was like the chef's selection of steak. So it was steak, and then it came with Brussels sprouts, zucchini, and carrots on the side with a mashed potato, I believe.
Good?
It was good.
Mm-hmm. What did Vern get? Do you remember?
Vern got the Monte Cristo.
How was that? People rave about it.
He really liked it. He did. Yeah. He really liked it. And I tried a bite. I could see how, I liked my bite. I really enjoyed my bite. I don't think I could do the entire sandwich because it's very rich. Mm-hmm. But it was good.
Did
was
either
good.
Of you have a mint julep?
That's no, the thing that no, we didn't.
I feel for some reason, I felt like Vern would be like, mint julep, sure.
No.
But
he's like, what? There's no, he wouldn't have done it because he's not a big mint julep person. And then the fact that there wouldn't be any gin in it, too.
Right.
He's a big water drinker. He really likes water, so.
Well, there you go.
A glass of water.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Well, you did find my brick, which you thought was at a weird location.
Yeah. So anybody, I do apologize to anybody that has to go out or wants to go out and try and find Tag's brick. To me, the numbering system was off because he was brick number one. And it was not like the first brick like you would think. It was like the bottom left corner of that section.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm looking at the top and the top starts with number 20. And I was like, well, we're in the wrong spot. So we probably looked ridiculous because we were wandering around for quite some time around that same area. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something different.
Send you the map because I downloaded it off the internet. Like they show a map of like, and then I could have sent it to you, and you would have been able to find the section really easily.
Oh well, we found the section, but we thought the section started the top one, the one that was at the top of the section was brick number 20. So we're like, well, clearly this is not the right section. So then we looked at the sections around it. We're like, well, those aren't the right ones either. What the heck? So and then we were trying to figure out. So posing with a brick. Not easy. So we're trying to figure out the best way to pose with the brick. So first we are laying on the ground and like,
do you have all these, by the way?
Yes we do. Vern snaps a picture of us that way, and of course, terrible angle, we looked ridiculous. Plus it was super, like the sun was really bright, so my eyes are closed under my sunglasses. So I'm like, I don't even care, I'm wearing sunglasses, I'm closing my eyes. And then we shifted around and I'm like, oh, why don't we do it this way? And then that's the photo we sent you. So it turned out really well.
I can't wait to see all these pictures you have. Like, this is one of those trips where, you know how, like, there's always those people that have, like, the slides, and they're like, can this, or us do this? Like, I would not mind that here. And I'm sure with Vern, it's probably going to end up being like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that over the next few episodes, I'm sure we'll talk about your time in Disneyland more. You'll remember things and talk about different things. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't talk about tonight?
So, some cool things. I'll try and keep it brief since I know it's already been forever for you guys. Some really cool things that were happening while we were there for Pixar Pier. So, like I mentioned, we were in California Adventure on Wednesday, and then we went back, and we're in California Adventure again on Friday morning. So when we were there Wednesday, we were walking back to Goofy's Sky School and kind of back in that area, and all of a sudden I looked over at the pal around, or Mickey's Fun Wheel, or whatever technically it's called right now, and I didn't notice it at first, but then I was looking at it a little harder and I was like, oh my gosh, and I snapped a picture and I put it in our little chat group and I said, hey, what's off about this? They didn't have none of the gondolas were on the Fun Wheel the first time we were there, which was just bizarre looking to me at first. And like I said, it was, to me, I didn't even quite notice it because I was looking at everything else that was going on, and then when I kind of did a double take, it was like, oh yeah, wait. So then the next time we were there, so then Friday morning, they actually had started adding the gondolas back on. So we were able to get a sneak peek at what some of the new Pixar-themed gondolas actually look like in person. So that was really cool. We were also able to walk back on the pier a little ways, and we're able to look up the first Scream tunnel. And I was able to see Mr. Dash, so that was pretty cool to see Dash up in his tunnel with the different neon laser light effects that they have going in that tunnel. And then the other cool thing, too, was they were working on the platform that they have all of the different effects for World of Color. They were working on that. So that was actually out of the water, and they had a dive crew and all sorts of other people working on it. So that was really cool to see them working on that too.
Sounds like you had a great trip.
Yeah.
And
I didn't want to leave.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the most magical place in the world. Of course, now this week, I went to training for work last week. Teresa, we were working at the same place now. Teresa actually has training this week, so she'll be a week behind. Although, funny enough, she's in a higher position than I am. So go figure. So let's get to some of our feedback this week. So we already, one of the things we were going to talk about was the Patreon feedback. And Jason sent in about meeting Teresa, or wanting to meet Teresa. So we kind of already talked about that.
Yeah, so Jason wrote, well, actually, it must have been Gwen. Husband and daughter and friend heading to the park tonight for a trip tomorrow. Daughter Jenna is really hoping to meet Teresa. Fingers crossed that we'll cross paths with her. So again, thank you guys so much, everyone. Thank you to everyone that reached out to me that said, hey, we're going to be in parks. You know, is it cool if we maybe meet up and say hi? I had so much fun meeting everybody. Gwen and family, thank you so much for helping us score awesome seats to Frozen and experiencing that with me for the first time. I'm sorry that we weren't able to spend more time together. I did hear that, Jenna, that you and your friend got a little bit too soaked on Splash Mountain that evening, and so you guys had to call it an earlier night than you wanted to, but I totally understand. Unfortunately, I didn't take photos of that tag, so I got soaked like three times that we were in, the three different times. It was bad. That was the first time I've ever been on Splash Mountain, and the entire like wave of water from the drop and from that first little drop came up over the front and into my lap.
That's the one that gets you.
Oh, it was awful.
It's not the big one that gets you wet.
No, it's the little one.
Yeah, and people don't realize that, and they aren't ready for it. They'll hit the little bump, and then all of a sudden, buckets of water.
Yeah, so I got soaked on that one, and at that point it was evening, so I'm wearing my jeans and a sweatshirt, and I'm sopping wet. Obviously got soaked on Grizzly River Run, but the one that really surprised me, I got soaked on the Matterhorn. Has that happened to you before?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's the first time it's, I don't know why, and I don't know what was different, but yeah, soaked, sopping wet on the Matterhorn. Same thing. The entire like little wave of water just like fell right into my lap. And Vern, so I love riding in the front, which I really should stop doing that because then I won't get so sopping wet.
Right.
But Vern and the guy that was sitting behind Vern both were laughing hysterically, and they're like, oh my gosh, so did you get wet? And I like got out of the thing and I'm just like dripping. They're like, oh my gosh, it was bad. I've never seen anyone get that wet on the Matterhorn before, but leave it to me, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen anybody get wet on the Matterhorn. So it's supposed to be like a little splash.
Yeah, so usually when I go on it, we go on the track that goes up to the right.
Yep, and that's the one I like too.
This happened on the track up to the left.
Oh.
So yeah, don't go to the left.
Gotcha. So on iTunes this week, we got a couple reviews here. So Flawless Legacy said, "Hello, DL Weekly. Fan and friends, this is Anthony on saying you guys are awesome. Keep it up."
Thank you, Anthony.
And then we also had a Disney Weirdo say, "Great podcast. This is such a fun and informative podcast. Keep up the great work, you guys. Looking forward to my Disneyland Weekly merchandise."
Whoop, whoop.
Which... you know, we've had a few people tell us that they are excited for our merchandise and they're going to order, and I haven't seen any orders
come through. You know, I think, like I said, I think there's too many options out there. It's hard to tag. We haven't even gotten DL Weekly merchandise.
Well, no, because we're trying to pay for other stuff.
No, there's too many options is the hard part. Too many good options.
So we got some email feedback. Why don't you go ahead and read that one?
All right. So from Mark, "Hi, Tag and Teresa. I'm very jealous that Teresa is heading to the park next week and also very excited for her. Two ideas for your trip. One, I've never been a big park food person, and I don't know if it's my increasing age or the new offerings, but I'm very interested in hearing about the food. Let us know some of the most delicious items that you suggest we try when we are there." I didn't really talk about that. So definitely Blue Bayou. Honestly, everything that I've tried off of that menu has not been bad. It is a little bit more spendy. And if you really want a good viewing area for Fantasmic, I very, very, very much recommend doing the dining package with Blue Bayou. I think Tag's done it before too. What were your thoughts on the Blue Bayou dining package?
I loved it. I thought it was a great deal. Because if you go in and you price out, like for you got Surf and Turf, yeah. If you go out and price it, really, you're not paying that much extra to be able to get a prime viewing spot. Literally, you're just saying, yes, I promise I'm going to be there.
Right.
And then, you know, you got the same, like, little pad thing like we got. Mm-hmm. So I just think, like, I think it's a great deal. So I think if you're going to go to the Blue Bayou, do the dining package for Fantasmic, because I think it's the best deal. Mm-hmm. But I think in general, the Blue Bayou, like, I feel like that is a dining experience you just can't replicate anywhere.
No.
I will say, if you want fancier food, you can go to the Club 1901 or whatever it is over in Carthay Circle.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like atmosphere there is great too, but Pirates. Nothing quite beats Pirates for me.
The other thing that I would highly recommend if anybody gets out there for Pixar Fest is... well, I guess not even for Pixar Fest. Next time you're out there, go and try the Pixar Pier Parfait from the adorable Snowman's Frozen Treat Stand. That's awesome. Also a big, big fan of the Dole Whips. We've already talked about Dole Whips a million times. I'm trying to think of where else we ate. We'll have to talk. Maybe we'll just talk about that next episode. We can talk more about what food stuff we had, because I specifically tried to experience a lot of different food items that I hadn't tried before. So we can talk about that too. So moving on with the email, I love to go into the Main Street Theater and watch Steamboat Willie. It is amazing to think everything that exists today started with that short cartoon. It is well worth the 5 minutes and is a great place to get away from crowds for a bit. Also, I love to visit the bench in the Mr. Lincoln Theater that Walt sat on while thinking about the original idea for Disneyland. Have a great trip, Mark. Well, thank you so much, Mark. And I don't know if these actually were a challenge or suggestion, but I took them as a challenge and a suggestion. And I did spend some time in the Main Street Theater and paid my tribute to Mr. Steamboat Willie. And then also, of course...
which is pretty hard for you, because you said you like to like zoom past
things. I know. I like to just go, go, go. So for me to like slow down and enjoy the little things... you know, it helped that we did the 4 days. Honestly, I won't ever do anything shorter than 4 days if I'm able to. So I was able to enjoy... I felt like I had time to like take a step back and enjoy the small things. And then also we did go say hi and pay our respects to Mr. Lincoln as well.
Yeah, Lincoln is great.
And that was really cool. We actually sat in the second row for Lincoln. Usually the theater is usually pretty busy whenever I do go, so I usually don't get to sit that close.
How did it look up close? That was pretty cool.
So the one thing that I thought was really interesting, it looked really good. The timing on everything and all that was great. The thing I thought was interesting, I've never noticed before, when he's sitting on the chair, he's not really sitting on the chair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a couple inches above it.
You just ruined it for everybody. He's floating. He's not sitting.
He kind of is, but... which is amazing to me. I would think that'd be harder on the animatronics.
But, it probably is.
And maybe something was just slightly off. Something could have been off that performance. I don't know. But that just surprised me. As we wrap up, we want to thank all of you for listening each and every week. If you like what you're hearing and want to support this podcast, you can help us out by becoming a patron. Patrons get some nice perks, including access to a chat with us and fellow Disney Park fans and some Disneyland Weekly swag. Find out more at DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
If you're in the midst of saving for your next Disneyland trip and can't support the show with money, then help us out by sharing Disneyland Weekly on social media or by word of mouth with other Disneyland fans that you may know. If you're going to the park soon and want to be wearing some Disneyland Weekly swag, head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/store to pick some up.
Yes, and good luck trying to decide which one you're going to get, because that's currently my problem. So we love seeing reviews on iTunes, plus it helps get our rankings better so more people can find us and join the community. Please write a review so we can read it on the show and others can know what you think. If you want to join the conversation, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/DisneylandWeekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com. Feel free to either email, Facebook, or tweet at us any questions, feedback, or suggestions that you may have about the show.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information. Don't forget that we also are going to have a feedback episode in the feed later this week as well to kind of give you some more Disneyland Weekly in your life.
All right. So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Like Teresa did last week without me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.